Firstly, just to thank Rabbi Jacobson for organizing all the shirim. The Gemara in Sukkah says that the Mishnah really says that Oichin Mishoshin Arai Chutz Sukkah. You can eat and drink Arai in a non-formal way. You can eat outside the Sukkah. The Ritva explains that the reason why you can eat Arai outside the Sukkah is because he says Peirush Shekain Adam Oichin Achiras Arai Chutz LeBeitah. It's normal for a person to eat Achiras Arai outside his house. It's a normal thing to do. And therefore, as we know, the general rule of sukkah is Peshu Kein Kaduru. You live in the sukkah the way you live in your house. If it's normal to eat arai outside your house during the rest of the year, on sukkah you can also eat arai outside your sukkah. Mishnah Berurah also brings that, and as we know, you can eat arai outside the sukkah. I mean, that means bread. Even bread, if you have kabeita, less than a kabeita, you can eat it outside the sukkah. Okay, I would like to just take this idea and let's see how far it goes. The Rav mentioned, I think, on the when he spoke on the first night of Yom Tov, what about sleeping in a shul? If a person starts to doze off in the middle of the joshua, is he over an issa? Is he allowed to do that? He's not allowed to do that. So let's see where we get to. There's another question maybe is that some people they eat in shul also. Yeah, we have a kiddush in shul. Maybe therefore we should be able to have a kiddush in shul on sukkahs also. Well, some people when they're learning all day, they don't go home for lunch. They bring the sandwiches to shul. Maybe they should be able to eat in the shul also. Okay.
And what?
Chips. Yeah, chips. Right, we're not talking about going on a trip. Right, that's a different tool, maybe of a drachim. We're not talking about that. Okay. The Mishnah Berurah does say that someone, it was put in halacha, the Shulchan Aruch says that when it comes to davening, if it's good to daven in your sukkah, you should daven in your sukkah. It's better to daven in your house, you daven in your house. That someone who normally goes to shul, he should daven in shul. So you see, this idea of davening in shul is a heter. Also, the Mishnah Berurah says that someone who Havdalah should make in the sukkah, but someone who normally Sharatim speaks out, someone who normally hears Havdalah in the shul, he's allowed to hear Havdalah in the shul. So you see that if it's a normal thing to do, to go to do a certain action in the shul, then you're allowed to do it in the shul. Okay, so let's discuss this. Okay, so there's a Gemara that says that even though we're allowed to eat Achilas Arai outside a sukkah, but Shteinas Arai, you're not allowed to do outside the sukkah. Shteinas Arai, you can't do outside the sukkah. We want to discuss this, why not? So the first answer in the Gemara is, it's some kind of gzeira. You might come to have a proper sleep outside the sukkah. Okay, the Gemara rejects it. We're not going to get involved in the sukkah. But the Sfas Emes points out that, wait a second, what's the mitzvah by Shteinas Arai? Is it normal for people to sleep outside, to do a Shteinas Arai outside the sukkah or not? If it is normal, if it's not normal to do Shteinas Arai outside the sukkah, if the normal means the person that only ever sleeps the Shteinas Arai at home, then it's possible that on sukkahs you also can't do a Shteinas Arai outside the sukkah. Yeah, well, there's no question. If you do a survey, if you look around and everyone sleeps the Shteinas Arai inside the house, that's the place where people do Shteinas Arai, they don't do it outside the home, then there's nothing to discuss. Of course, you have on sukkahs, you also have to do it in the sukkah. So the fact that the Gemara is trying to understand why is it that Shteinas Arai is after outside the sukkah must be because generally people do also sleep Shteinas Arai outside the house. Yeah, that must be. Otherwise, there's no shaila. It's poshut why you have to sleep inside the sukkah. So the Gemara carries on over there. The Gemara says that Rava says Ein kevel l'shteina. Okay, the word's a bit hard to translate, but the basic rule is that the Rashi speaks out, the Ran speaks out, is that sometimes when a person's tired, sometimes just a little nap can refresh them. That's enough. It's enough. It'll keep him going. It'll get him going. So in which case, there's no real difference between Shteinas Arai and Shteinas Keva. When it comes to sleeping, it's all one thing. There's one category called Shteina. Yeah, a person can refresh himself with a little nap, and therefore it's all included in the general category called sleeping. There's one act of sleeping, Shteina, and therefore it's all one sleeping. That's the wrong answer. Okay, so what exactly is the answer? It's, according to what is the answer? So, the Maaser Rosh Hashanah Orbach asks, he says, I don't understand. So what? The fact it's all one act of sleeping. So the mitzvah, the rules are, teishu kein tedur. If it's normal to sleep outside a sukkah, which we're saying, the hechra from the Gemara must be that at least there is a certain type of sleeping that it is normal to do. So what? That there is one category called shena. Doesn't matter. If it's a normal act thing to do outside a sukkah also, you should be able to do it outside the sukkah. So the, a relatively straightforward answer might be that, yeah, we're originally, when we're understanding that there's two different types of sleeping. There's a shenas keva and a shenas arai. Two separate things. So when you just look at shenas arai, sometimes you do sleep outside your house. Yeah, sometimes you do. So relative to that whole category called shenas arai, it's a relative normal thing to do. And that's why that was the most kasha. One didn't understand. If it's a relatively normal thing to do, to have shenas arai outside your house on sukkah, you should also be able to sleep outside your house, outside the sukkah. When the Gemara is machadish, that no, there's not one category. There's not two separate categories. There's only one category. If there's only one category, so then you look in the general big category called sleeping. How likely or how often does it happen that a person does a part of that outside the sukkah, outside the house? Sorry, yeah. And on that, because it's a much bigger category now, including all sleeping, and that the amount of times that a person would sleep outside his house is very minimal, and that's not enough to be considered a normal way. Okay, so once we look at it as one big category, then the fact that sometimes a person does the shenas arai out of his house is not significant enough to be considered that we can say, yes, that is a derech. That's a derech to now sleep outside the sukkah. That might be one way to explain the Gemara. I'd like to suggest a little bit more though. So again? No. Yeah, because by eating this two, there are two separate categories. There's achilas keva and achilas arai. So you can't, okay. The Mishnah sukkah says that kosher with the yamim adam oisek sukkasa keva veisa arai. Mishnah says that for all 7 days of sukkah, a person has to make his sukkah keva and his house arai. Okay, we'll come back to explain what that means. The Gemara brings a brayta. Tanu banan kosher with the yamim adam oisek sukkah so keva veisa arai. Keita. How do you do this? How you know kelim nine? He's got some nice kelim. Man of the sukkah. He brings them to the sukkah. Mitzas naos, sheets, upholstery. Man in the sukkah. He's got these nice sheets. He brings them into the sukkah. He eats, he drinks, he mitzvahs, discussion exactly what it means, recreation. He does that all in the sukkah. Okay? The Gemara carries on. Minani, mili, tetanu abana, teshu kein teduru. The rule is, teshu kein teduru, mikan amu koshiva sayamim, oita adam, sukkasa keva, feisa, arai, keita, hayulo keinim nai, mali in the sukkah, mitzvahs na, mali in the sukkah, oifo shosim, mitzvah, the sukkah, mishan in the sukkah. And the Gemara adds, you should also learn, or the Bryce adds, you should learn in the sukkah also. So, The Rambam explains, what does it mean, keva? Says, the Rambam Mishnah says, inyan keva, ikar tmidus. Keva means, this is your ikar, this is your main place, this is where you are, this is your home. On sukkahs, our house is not our home, our sukkah is our home. And therefore, a person should bring his nice stuff inside his sukkah. Why? Because that's his home. And he should do the things that he normally does at home. He's eating, he's sleeping. He should do that inside the sukkah. Why? Because that's his home. The sukkah on sukkahs is our home. Our home is not our home. Our sukkah is our home. The Rambam Mishnah Torah also says a similar thing. It's also brought by Allah from the Shulchan Aruch. That the Braita, that on sukkahs we have to treat our home as our non-home. And our sukkah has to be treated like our home. And therefore, we have to eat and sleep and bring our nice stuff inside the sukkah. The next halacha in the Rambam mentions that it's after the halacha over here, that it's after to sleep outside the sukkah. Okay? And also mentions that achilas arai is mutar outside the sukkah. Mashma, achilas keva is after. The only time that we find an issa by sukkah seems to be with regards to sleeping and eating. So even though the Brayta told us, and also brought the halacha, that it's not only eating and sleeping that you have to do in the sukkah, but other things, your teal, your learning, other things also have to be done in the sukkah, we don't find, as far as I'm aware, we don't find that there's an issa on those things. Okay? So the issa only seems to be on eating and sleeping, but not on other things which you also should be doing in a sukkah. So maybe we can explain like this. But Rashi in the beginning of the second parak, Rashi says that the ikka of sukkah, the ikka tashmishim of a sukkah, the ikka living of a sukkah is sleeping, eating, and drinking. That's the ikka way to makan the mitzvah of sukkah. Working with this, we can mainly suggest like this. On sukkahs, as we said, the writer tells us, the Mishnah tells us, a person has to make his home into, he has to make his sukkah into his home. That's his home. What is the ikka function of a home? What's the ikka thing to be doing in a home? As he tells us, eating, sleeping, drinking. Those things are crucial. That is what you have to do in your sukkah. Yeah? As the Bible says, the person has to make his sukkah into his home. His sukkah is his home. What's his home? What's the function of a home? Eat, drink, sleep. That's what we do in a home. Those are the essential functions of a home. Perhaps it could be that these things, because they're the essential acts of living, these they have to be done in a sukkah, no matter what. Maybe even if it's normal not to do them in a home, sometimes you might do them outside a home, but because these are essential living acts of living, therefore they have to be done in a sukkah. Why? Because in sukkah we have to live in the sukkah. We have to make our sukkah like our home. That means you have to eat, drink, and sleep in a sukkah. Those are the crucial ingredients of living, and therefore, no matter what, those have to be done inside the sukkah. And therefore, there's an issur to do these things outside the sukkah. With regard to other things, your teal, your learning, other things, they might be types of living, acts of living, but they're not your ikka living. In which case, maybe there's no issur to do them outside the sukkah. Okay, but so what exactly then is if we're saying there's two categories, there's our ikka living, there's your eating, the sleeping, and drinking. What that's one thing, and there's something else called your teal, your learning, your Mishabura says brings from Mariel. If you're going to shmooze to your friend, you should shmooze him inside the sukkah. So what exactly are these things? What is it? It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. What exactly is it? So there's a very interesting Mishnah Bura, which I actually spoke about once before on Pesach. Mishnah Bura, where is it? 1 second. Okay, the Mishnah Bura says like this. We know by matzah, there's a famous shittah of the Gra who says that there's a mitzvah to eat matzah all 7 days. Says the Mishnah Bura like this. Mistapatzi, I'm a super. Lefi mashi yodeh, da'at ha'grah, the mitzvah lechol matzah, kol shivas yimei pesach, kepashte dekrah, shivas yamim tofim matzah. According to the Gra, that holds that there's a mitzvah to eat matzah 7 days of Pesach, like the pasuk of the pasuk, but the pasuk says for 7 days you should eat matzah. Ela, the mitzvah asa hirat ba'erev, but the mitzvah asa, the obligation is only on the first night. Masha enken achakav, afterwards it's hirat mitzvah ba'alma, it's just a mitzvah ba'alma. Eshta says the Mishnah Bura, do a din hacha. The same din might apply over here on Sukkot. Mitzvah lechachida lecho pas kol zayin yamim v'levach leishay v'sukkah. Maybe there's a mitzvah to eat bread all 7 days and make a leishay. Which, at face value, the Mishnah Bura seems very, very strange. Why? Because we know every time you eat bread in a sukkah, you make a bracha, and you're makayim a mitzvah. So what's the suffix of the Mishnah Bura? Of course, according to this, nothing to do with the graph. Everyone holds that if you eat bread, a bit more than a kibbutz of bread inside the sukkah, you're makayim a mitzvah. So why is he saying mustafet according to the Gra, who holds that by matzah, there's a mitzvah to eat matzah all 7 days, maybe also on sukkah, there's a mitzvah to eat bread all 7 days. What's going on? According to everything, to everyone, there's a mitzvah every time you eat more than a kibbutz of bread inside the sukkah. So what's his mustafet? Ah, okay, very good. Okay. So it's brought in the shame of the stifler that the stifler says that although most of us know that there's two categories of mitzvahs, there's the mitzvah chiyuvit, which a person if he does it he gets tchar, if he doesn't do it he's going to get punished, and there's something else called a mitzvah chiyumis, which if he does it he gets tchar, if he doesn't do it nothing tzeda, he's not punished, nothing happens to him. The stifler's mechalek says there's something else, there's a second category, there's a third category, which is we call it a mitzvah lechachila. Mitzvah lechachila means that it's something a person should do. He should do it. A person should do it. It's just, if he doesn't do it, he doesn't get punished. The Sifra says that's how the Mishnah Bura understood Shittas HaGra by Matzah. That it's not a chiyuv to eat Matzah according to the Gra, and it's not a mitzvah kiyumis like many of us assume. No, it's an in-between category. It's a mitzvah lechatchila. That's the words of the Mishnah Berurah. It's a mitzvah lechatchila to eat matzah every day of Pesach. That's how Mishnah Berurah understood Shita Sagra. In which case, the Sagra has now got a shaila. Because of the Gzeir Shavah, Tesvav, that we learned with the connection between matzah, between Sukkot and Pesach, maybe also on Sukkot, there's a mitzvah lechatchila to eat bread every day in the Sukkot, and you'll be, and Makayim the mitzvah. You won't get punished if you don't do it, but it's something you should do. You ask the Rav, should I do it? He'll say, yes, you should do it. That's how Sakya wants to explain this Mishnah Berurah. According to this understanding, at least that there's this new category called a mitzvah lechachila, perhaps that's also the idea, of these other diurim. We suggested that when it comes to Sukkah, a person has to live in the Sukkah. It suggests that there's two different categories. The things which are your ways of living, which is eating, sleeping, and drinking, which are essential. Those you're not allowed to do this outside the Sukkah. But there's a secondary category, other types of living, which are teal and learning, which are not your essential living, but they're also a type of living. And maybe on these ones, it's a mitzvah lechachila to do them inside the Sukkah. Yeah? It's not just a mitzvah kiyumis, it's a mitzvah to actually do them. And truth is, the shoinus of the Rishonim, where they speak about whether you're potter, the Gemara says there's just types of learning. Some types of learning you should be in a Sukkah, sometimes you don't have to be in a Sukkah. Yeah? The Lashonis of Rishonim are your potter, your chayv. If you're potter, if it's just a mitzvah kiyumis, it's not really, I don't think it's nice to talk about potter. You're not potter from a mitzvah kiyumis, you don't have to do it in the first place. So the fact that they're talking about being potter in various scenarios, Mishnah Berurah also says, if you've got too many sorim and it's a tirchah to take into the sukkah, you're also your potter. Shara Tzion says, it brings from the Prisha, that nowadays that people only really sit in the sukkah during the meals. Other times the sukkah is empty. So your ear, you can do in the sukkah, there's nothing's going to be mafia you. And the Rosh Hashanah is tzarech, leum with the sukkah, something like that. Use the Rosh Hashanah tzarech. So you see, it does seem to be more than just a kiyumis. You should, at least the chachila, do all these other things inside your sukkah also. Okay, so coming back to... Yeah, on those things, no, yes. Yeah. Okay, so... Okay, so coming back to some of the highlights that we raised. Okay, so first of all, according to what we're saying now, that when it comes to learning, a person should learn in the sukkah. Interestingly, the Mishnah Berurah, when it comes to davening, he said if a person normally davenes inside the shul, he can also daven in the shul on sukkah. When it comes to Abdallah, if a person normally makes Abdallah in the shul, he can also make Abdallah in the shul. When it comes to learning, he doesn't actually mention it. He doesn't say that. Yeah, right. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav does bring it. Yeah, he says it in brackets. The sort of Kaf HaChaim does pass on that way. Definitely, the Minhag Olam seems to be like that. Everyone's here today. When it comes to learning, if a person normally learns in shul, he can learn in shul. Okay, what about the other questions we asked? So he said, eating in shul, even if it might be normal to make your kiddush in shul or to eat your lunch in shul, it doesn't help you. Why? Because we're saying that achila. It always has to be done in sukkah. That's your ikka way of living, and your ikka way of living has to be done in your sukkah. You have to make your sukkah into your house. You have to do your ikka living inside your sukkah. And what about sleeping? So he said, according to the way we've explained, even a nap should be asr. The fact that the Gemara says that a temporary sleeping is also included within the general category of sleeping should come out that you're not allowed to sleep even a nap inside the shul. I saw a quote of the same Rabbi Yashav, he says like that. The Ben Ishkai says that if you see someone nodding off during Kriyas HaTorah, you should actually wake him up. Okay. Right, so Renitzin Karela says it's okay. I didn't understand it, but Ayin Sham, he says it's okay. And also, Avigdor Nevinson says a different story. He says that what it means to sleep outside of sukkah, even shenis arai, is when a person like prepares himself and gets himself ready to sleep. He does an act which is a little bit more, a bit of a foresight went into it, yeah? He positioned himself, he got himself in a nice comfortable position, and then he went to sleep. That's what the Gemara had in mind when it said Shenas Arai is outside the sukkah. But if a person just is sitting there and what can he do? He just starts dozing off. That's not the sleep that the Torah uttered. Yeah, it's only when you actively go to sleep outside the sukkah, that's where it's a problem. But just to doze off, he says, is okay. Okay, just to end off with one small voice. I thought, so we've been discussing over here that the sukkah is we have to live inside a sukkah. So it's interesting. We do our kriya, our essential living, we have to do inside a temporary structure. Okay, we same the shape of the dearest Arai. Okay, we go from our permanent place, we go into our temporary place. So many of them farshim say that it's to remind us that this world is a temporary place. Yeah, we're not fixed in this world. This is only a stepping stone for Olam Haba. Yeah, we have to realize that even though we're doing essential things of life, we're eating, we're drinking, we're sleeping, but we're doing it in a temporary place. This world is temporary. We're not here to stay. It's just a proto to Olam Haba. I saw the Yaris Bash, there's a nice theatre in the Pasuk. Pasuk by Sukkah says, Vasukkot teishu shivas yamim, kol ha'ezah for Yisrael yesu v'sukkot. For 7 days, you should dwell in the Sukkah. And then it says, kol ha'ezah for Yisrael yesu v'sukkot. All the ezah, how you translate ezah, kol ha'ezah for Yisrael yesu v'sukkot. Citizen. All the citizens of Israel should live in a sukkah. And the end of the passage doesn't say anything about 7 days. So the first part of the passage says 7 days, and then he repeats itself without leaving out 7 days. So he explains like this. He says that, Pesukkah says you shiva yamim. So regular people, for 7 days you live in a sukkah. But the Ezrach, who's the Ezrach? The Gemara in Baba Asa says, refers to Avraham Avinu as the Ezrach. Someone who's not, like Avraham Avinu, who's a tzaddik, hopefully all our sheifas, a tzaddik. Someone who's got she'ifas for higher things, he should be living the sukkah all the time. Not limited 7 days, right? So that should be our attitude all the time. All the time, love after sukkah. We should take the message of sukkah that we're only here on a temporary basis. That the real, the ikkah of life is Olam Haba. We should take that with us, not just for sukkah, the rest of the year, and always be living that type of life, a life of a temporary nature, realizing this world is only a temporary, and our tachlis is Olam Haba. Good morning.